Just stand for the reading of the word. We also have another need. We had a death in the community, and I didn't have it on my that prayer list. I had it on another one. Sister Alta's son-in-law, Tina's husband, passed away unexpectedly. I believe it was Friday night, and we want to certainly remember them. He was a fairly young man, 47 years old, a number of medical issues. You know, we don't know the day or the hour when we're going to leave this earth. I know the young people, a lot of times, and I've been there, but we thought that we had a lot of time ahead of us, and not so. We live in a day and age. It's always been this way throughout the history of humanity. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So if you're here today, and I'm not preaching on that, I'm preaching on great women of the Bible, Mother's Day sermon. But if you're not here today, if you're here today and you're not ready to meet the Lord, I'm asking you to consider that. Search your heart, examine yourself, and pray that you'll be ready. Amen. Proverbs 31 and 10. Happy Mother's Day, and this is the theme this morning. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? I submit to you today in churches all over America, all over the world today as we celebrate Mother's Day. Just look around. We're surrounded by virtuous women in this place. Let's pray together. Father, we ask your help. That anointing, Lord, that makes preaching a delight and easy. For me to preach, for them to hear. Let us obey the words of the scripture when it says to not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. God, help us to apply this to our hearts, Lord, what we'll hear. God, seal it in our spirit. God, help us to go out of here today, Lord. And by virtue of this service, help us to be closer to you. Something, speak something. Let something come alive in the hearts and the minds of your people here. And we'll thank you and praise you. And the people of God said amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Brother Scott Hammonds, when I went and greeted him a while ago in the back, and he said, I'm here. I'm glad to be here. And he said, I'm ready to hear a fiery sermon. I said, well, if you come on Mother's Day, you probably ain't going to get one. Amen, amen. And so I'll invite you back to not this Sunday night nor next Sunday night, because we'll be at 15th Street. But come on back, be with us on the Sunday. We cut loose a little more on Sunday night than we do Sunday morning. Is that all right? I believe in cutting loose anytime and let the Holy Spirit have his way. I want to read that scripture again. Who can find a virtuous woman? And we know that basically the word virtuous, high moral standards. But what I love about this particular word, that's an English for a Webster's Dictionary version or definition of the word virtuous, is a high moral standards. And we know that means that here, but it goes deeper. That's what I love about the ancient languages, and with the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic and the Chaldean. You can study and break these words down. They're like layers of onions that you peel off, and there's another meaning. And so in this word virtuous in this Hebrew text here means a force. And I love that, a force. And so that when the next time that your wives or your daughters have the force of a hurricane, you know what I'm talking about. When my wife gets to fussing with me, I have to remember she's a force to be dealt with. But it's not meaning that. What it means is, amen, that God is saying that the price of a virtuous woman, a woman who can impact and create generational legacies to her children and those that are around her. And we celebrate not only mothers this morning, but we celebrate godly women who make up the entirety of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are making an impact not only yesterday, but today and in the future. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the church that I grew up in was full of women that loved the Lord and that showed and modeled behavior that it impacted even me to this day. If that's you, you ought to thank God that you've had godly influences in your life. I can tell you as a longtime member of the Church of God and being in the Pentecostal organization, a lot of times there were more women in the church than there were men. And a lot of times it was a predominantly female congregation. I don't know the men were AWOL or, or not doing their duty. But thank God for these women who came to church and kept the doors open and labored in the church so that the bills could be paid and labored in these altars until husbands and sons would come back to the Lord. Amen. So we're here today to honor them. I didn't always agree with the way that my parents raised me. I didn't always agree with the morals that my mother had. But isn't it amazing that after we get saved and come back to God that we realize that they were right all along? Now, most of our children are back there in the back, but you need to remind our children and our grandchildren that we're normally right most of the time. So not only mothers, but grandmothers, those that are mentors, those that who are guardians, those who foster moms, just any of our women today who love the Lord and that are making an impact. It's not coincidental that the nuclear family or the normal family, father, mother, and children, is under attack by those forces that it's clear that the Bible teaches it. It's the spirit of Antichrist. They want to attack the very thing that God instituted at the very beginning. Let me tell our young mothers that you have young children, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep bringing them to church. Grandmothers, keep bringing those children to church. Bring them screaming and hollering. You set that example, because I can tell you as a living testimony, what they did to me when I was young, amen, has impacted me to this very day. I quote my parents. I talk about my parents. I remember the lessons that they have given me, and I'm thankful today for godly men and women, especially women today. We honor them. Can we just do that one more time and honor our mothers and grandmothers? Now, we want to look at some strong women in the Bible. I want to look at the Queen Esther, who was willing, a strong woman that was willing to give her life for the sake of her people. I thank God for a woman that is willing. Listen, thank God for every, look, in the day and age we live in and the economy that we have and all that's going on, I understand that women have to work. And I understand that a lot of times to make ends meet, the husband and the wife have to work. And I'm not criticizing that. I understand that. I think we all understand that. But I don't know, but I thank God for a woman that will stay home and raise the children and sacrifice her own ambitions and her own, and that may be a little old-fashioned, don't nobody fall out with me, but a woman that is willing to sacrifice for the betterment of her home and her family and her marriage, instead of being devalued, that we should exalt them and honor them. Is that okay? And say amen. Not to devalue them. It's now that society says, look at them. You're just under the thumb or the heel of your husband or the patriarchy. There's always this leftist, socialist, antichrist spirit that works against the church and the values and the principles that God has set. But I thank God for women like Esther. When her whole race, the race of the Hebrew, the Jewish people, were under attack and about to be annihilated, she said, I'm going to go and see the king, even if it costs me my life. Thank God for women like that. Thank God for a woman like the woman that had the issue of blood, that she didn't care, even though she had this blood issue made her unclean ceremoniously and under the religious laws of the Jewish people, and she was surrounded by people she wasn't even supposed to be there. But I thank God for women that don't care what other people say, that they want to please God and they want to touch God, and they're not worried about about what society says. They're not worried about what the culture says. They're worried about what God says, and they want to please God. Somebody ought to say amen in this house this morning. When I think about Sarah, I love that story. You know, there's a lot to unpack, and we don't have time this morning. But I think about Sarah. God promised her and Abraham, I'm going to give you children. Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah's 90 years old. And I've been regaled with these stories from a young boy, and I never forgot him. See, when you're a young child, listen, hear me now. When you're a young child and you hear about a 90-year-old woman having a baby, you don't really think that much. That's too odd, right, when you're a child. But when you get 50, 60, 70 years old and somebody starts talking about you having a child, you think they're crazy. And but as I got older and I began to think about this story, and I thank God for a woman, a powerful, strong woman in the Bible, that even though the world would say that her womb was dead, even though science and the physiology of all of that and the biology would say that her womb was dead and that there was no way that she could have a child, she still had faith in God. She wasn't perfect, but she believed that when God told her something, that it was going to come to pass. I've come by to tell the women of God in here that when God tells you something, when through the word of the Lord or in your prayer closet, God will perform. He'll watch over his word. If you believe it, say amen. I think about Hagar. Now, Sarah made mistakes. And women, we're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect. And I just give you a great woman of the Bible, but Sarah had a different plan before she got that revelation, before she got strong enough to believe God. She said, I'm so old, I can't have a baby. I'm just going to give my husband this young woman so he can have a baby with her. Oh, that's a weird story, isn't it? It's in the Bible. But even when you try to circumvent, and we do that, and that's why I said Sarah wasn't perfect. Even when we take a woman like Hagar, who was never intended to have a child with Abraham, even when she goes and has a relationship with Abraham, completely out of the will of God, and God gives this woman a child. And then when this child is born, and Sarah, and y'all women don't get petty jealous, do you? She got, not most of the time. She got jealous, and she said, Abraham, you got to kick this woman out and kick her to the curb and put her out. I can't stand seeing this young woman with your child, with your son, and God haven't given me a son. I told you that Sarah wasn't perfect. So Abraham, listening again, we don't understand. There's so much, so many moving parts of this story. Won't allow us time, won't allow us to go there. But then in this story, Abraham kicks her out, and she's out, and she's desperate, and she, the baby's crying, and there's no food, and they're starving, and they're going to die in the wilderness or the desert. And she puts the child over here, and she goes over to another place, and she just assumes that they're going to die. But God had different plans, amen. God showed up on the scene. I come by to tell some women tonight, today I mean this morning, that no matter what you find your situation is, no matter how desperate it is, if you'll cry out to the true and the living God, there's still a God that has an ear that will listen and will touch and move when we don't think that he will. You have faith, amen. We honor women like this in the Bible. We thank God for these strong examples that we're given. And not only women of the Bible, but women that we run into, women that fill this church, that's in this church. Maybe your children are away from God, but you want to be like Hannah. When she prayed, she was barren, but God gave her a child, and she said, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him to you. And the Bible declares that we don't know the exact age. There's a little debate about how old Samuel was, but they reached a certain age where she took him to the temple and she presented him, and he worked there as an assistant to the priest as a young boy. Y'all, many of you Bible scholars know the story. Can you imagine the pain that mother must have had to be able to relinquish her child to the service of the Lord, not being able to be with him on a daily basis? I'm sure there was provision that she could visit and have time and be able to be a mother to him. But she did something that we've got to learn to do, women and ladies and mentors and foster parents and grandparents and grandmothers and adoptive mothers and whatever position, mentors, all of you, listen to me this morning. We've got to give our children to the Lord. We got to trust him. I mean, we got to pray. You know, we were talking about this the other day. Somebody was talking about how sweet my mama is, and she is a saint. But I remember, can you believe this, what I'm about to say? I was a mouthy young. I know that's hard for you to believe. But my mother, now I didn't talk back to my parents now. But I was out one day, we were over in Williamston on Doodle Hill, and I was in the backyard. It was a hot summer day. My dear sweet mama would have been in her early 30s at that point. And I was complaining, I'm hot, mama, I need some water. And I went on and on and on. And I guess I worried my mama so much that she come out the door with a glass. She's not going to appreciate this. I hope she's not watching. Like, she come out the door with a glass of water, and when I went to get it, she throwed it right in my face. I remember one time I was running my mouth a little bit, Daddy was the one that always would whoop us, okay? So, Mama, if you had to really make Mama mad, and I never forget, y'all going to think this is child abuse. But again, Brother Bateman's a little mouthy out in the backyard, running my mouth. Finally, she opened the back door, and we're in the backyard playing. I'm running my mouthing or whatever. She comes out with a fly swatter. What you going to do? Thinking to myself, what you going to do with that? You can't hurt me. I'm 10, 12-year-old boy, rough as a corn cob, wild as a buck. Come on here. She'd come out, and she took that thing and slapped me right side the mouth with it. You said that's child abuse, amen. Live it. No, now, you know, and that was harsh, and she's probably really going to get, she's going to watch this. She's going to get me for that. But can I tell you, now we got parents trying to be their friends. No boundaries, no principles, none of this, and giving them everything that they want. That's not going to work. We got to be like Hannah. We got to give them to the Lord. We got to put biblical principles in place. Take them to church. You know, one preacher, I've never used this very often, but I love what he said. He said, when I was little, I was on drugs. I said, what is this man talking about? Yeah, I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of revival, every youth service, youth camp. Thank God for men and women that will stand in the gap and do something, amen, and say, God, I can't do this without you. You've got to help me. I'm going to give my children to the Lord. You got to do the same thing. See, you're ladies, women, mothers, grandmothers, you're doing more. You're doing more than raising children. You're raising legacies. You're leaving a legacy. See, we've got to be. Technology is a wonderful thing. It has. I don't know what it was. I'm not a very techie guy at all. I can maneuver, manipulate a little bit there. But Pastor Zach come to me one time in a staff meeting and said, "Hey, can we use this new program, just try it out, you know, free trial, whatever. It'll take your sermons and with artificial intelligence, AI, it'll create all of these Bible studies throughout the week." And I said, well, let's try it. Maybe some of y'all saw it. They were on Facebook. Every week from the desk of Pastor Bate. Man, I read them, and it was AI summary of my sermons in a 5-day, once a day Bible study, and I read. Did I say all that in my sermon? I'm smarter than what I think I am. Technology is amazing, but technology cannot save them. Technology cannot keep them. Technology may help them, but I'm telling you, there's going to come a time when we're going to need some help, amen, and we're not going to find it in the natural or in the technology, amen. We're only going to be able to find it with the help of the good Lord, amen. Put your children in the hands of God. And let God have them and say, God, I remember my grandparents praying. Remember the old saints, and I've shared this with y'all. When I was raised up in Williamson, I was out there in the world and left the church. I'd run into those women. I hated that. You know, they had them big beehives. And I'd see them at Rose's department store, and, you know, they didn't do that Pentecostal sideways hug with me, you know. When a man hugs a woman in the Pentecostal church, we do it like this, just a sideways hug. Man, them old Pentecostal women, brother, they see me at Rose. I'm 20-some years old. Boom! And then in the middle of Roses or wherever, tears running down their eyes, pray, brother Gary, we're praying for you. When are you going to come back to church? When are you going to come back to the Lord? Let me tell you something. We may look at that as an annoying thing then, or we may think it's bothersome, or we may try to avoid them. But I don't know about you. I thank God for every godly woman that's ever prayed for me, that's ever bowed the knee, amen, and called out my name. We've got to give them to God. Somebody clap in his house. Just a few more things and we'll close. We're raising legacies. Women, late godly women, you impact the past. And not when I wrote that, I said, you know, that's why I keep talking about what happened to me, because it had such a profound effect on me. We got to be, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians, we can't be weary in well-doing. I want to encourage our women today, our mothers, our grandmothers, our foster parents, our adoptive parents, our mentors. I mean, some of you women, maybe you've never had children, but your life, the way you live your life and lead and speak into other people. Paul even admonished that the older women teach the younger women. So godly women, you not only had touched those in the past, but you have an opportunity to do it now. One of the things I say often in a Father's Day, a Mother's Day message, I'll say it now, if we fail in this, we fail our children in leading them in the things of God, we will fail them in the greatest area of their lives. Did you hear what I said? Some people think, boy, man, you know, because see, Annika, my daughter's 15 years old. She's already trying to pick out vehicles. And I say, you see that old green truck sitting in the front yard, beat all up, dinged all up, bald tires, no air conditioner. There you go. Yeah. But you know what? More than her mother and I can do for her and leave her, and we're talking about women, more than we can do. If we bought her the nicest vehicle that we could afford and made sure that it was safe and the air in the tires and the oil changed and gas in the tank and do all of those things and make sure she don't have the latest, greatest phone, but make sure she's got a phone. And I done warned her, I don't know all this technology, but Apple's got one of these things called AirTag. Man, I'm going to put one on her book bag, in her car. Come on, y'all ain't going to help me here. I'm going to be monitoring her every move. But more than technology, Brother Gary got to be, Pastor Gary and Sister Kim got to be on their knees. We've got to be praying, and that covering is greater than anything that we can do for her. Now, our plans, hopefully, I don't think there's any rumors going around. I ain't planning on retiring no time soon. I'm having too much of a good time. I love what I do, and I'm going to keep doing it, whether it's here or somewhere else. Hopefully, it'll be here. But we're planning on building a house, hopefully in the future, or buying a house here in Beaufort County, and this is where we'll ride off in the sunset. That's our plan. God may change. God may say, I may wake up one morning and God say, move to New York City. I'll say, that can't be God. But we're already looking at plans and looking at the houses and trying to find a piece of land and, you know, looking. It's future, but we're planning. And Annika's already picked it out. She says, well, it's going to be my house anyway. I said, that be the case, I'm going to build a little barn out in the back where your daddy, no, daddy, you ain't living nowhere near us. I'm trying to close here, but I'm making a point. We could give her the nicest car. We could give her the best clothes. I'm talking about what we can afford now. I'm not talking about crazy spending. We can build a house or buy a house that when we die, it'll be hers. We can do all of that and leave her. And I hope I'm able to leave my children some kind of inheritance, hopefully, that will be a blessing to them to help them on. But if we don't leave them godly principles, if we don't leave them boundaries, if they're not able to look back and see how God has impacted and touched our lives and that we dedicated our lives to God. I can tell you, I can look back to my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents, amen, and I can't go any further back than that as far as how they lived their lives and whether they dedicated to the Lord. But I've seen generations, amen, and I promise you this one thing, that if they will dedicate their lives to God, if they'll sell out to God, and God will show them great and mighty things that we have no idea. The Bible says He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Godly women impart biblical wisdom. They shape the character of children. They help guard. And we need this, and I'm closing with this. Sister Ellen, if you'll come on back. I've got so much more. Amen. Was that an amen that I'm closing? Okay, all right. Yeah, she was just as excited as you are that I'm closing, but y'all wouldn't do me like that. Godly women guard against the influences of this world. Has anybody noticed the styles? My wife is always telling me that she's trying to find clothes. She said it's hard to find modest clothes for the young girls. Now that's not just accidental. That's by design of this Antichrist world system. And nobody, none of these young ladies want to be, especially in the teenage age and the younger girls, preteen and early teens, and they don't want to be ostracized and look. They don't want their fashion to bring attention to them that it doesn't look like what's being accepted. My daughter, she was able to go. She went to the prom this year with a friend. Not a boyfriend, but a friend who was a boy. And so, does anybody have any idea how hard it is to find a prom or a formal dress for a young lady that's modest? Do you have any, I'm closing, do you have any idea? And so, Annika's sending me pictures, and her mama's already told her, there ain't no way on God's green earth you wearing that. So we finally found one, but I don't know how much it was. Kim never told me. I really don't even want to know. But Kim says, we're going to have it altered. They were having, I don't know what all this stuff is. It's called tulle, T-O-U-L-E. It's a fabric. So they had to have more fabric put up on the top. Y'all help me here. I'm going to lose some of you now. and it had a split that we had to pay $75 to put that up there and to put some more material down here on the split. The world's not going to dictate the way our children are dressed. Y'all help me now. Because I've seen some of these, even the lady that owned the shop told Kim, I can't believe the way some of these mamas let their children go out looking like that. Listen, I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm trying to behave this morning. The dresses are so short, they're having to wear shorts under them. Let's get some advice from the preacher, man. If the dress is so short that they got to wear a pair of shorts under it, it's too short. Everything is so low cut. The splits are so high. The dresses are so short. We've been places and the young ladies spend more time trying to pull the dress down. Y'all ain't going to help me. I'm going to close. I'm mad now. But here's what we're closing with. We need godly women, mothers, grandmothers, foster parents, mentors, adoptive parents, friends of the family, godly women to lead and to be virtuous, a force to be dealt with, a force to be reckoned with. I'm not sacrificing my daughter or our children for the popularity of this world. The Bible says that this world is an enmity. It's an enemy of God. Would you stand? Who can find one? Who can find a virtuous woman? All heads are bowed. I just want us to get a memory right now. For those of us that were raised in church, raised by a godly mom, can you just grab a memory right now? You know what I'm grabbing? Every night as we lay in bed, my mom would come and sit on one of our beds, bunk beds or twin beds, whatever they were, and read a Bible story. Never forgot it. Still in my heart today. Maybe you